That's what happens when two technology comes. It leaves guys like me in the dust, and my switch is now the opposite way. When I was a younger kid, around July, middle of July, this guy would come down the road from, he lived three blocks from my father, and he'd come down, and every July he'd come down just bawling and whining. And you know, as kids, you don't understand this kind of thing. My father was a pastor, and so he dealt with people in the church, out of the church, prayed with people. And I just remember after every summer, finally I asked my dad, "Dad, what is with this guy? Come down here bawling and whining, taking all your time up. You know, don't you know we're supposed to go fishing?" And he said, "Son," he said, "you need to understand something. This man was in World War II, and he did some things that were just so horrible that there's one day a year he just can't deal with what he did." And my father began to understand to me that we live in this country, we really don't understand what some men have had to do for the freedoms you and I enjoy here today. And then he told me something really interesting. He said his wife, she was in the French underground, and she did worse things than he did. And I began to understand that we in this country don't understand and appreciate what some people have had to do for the freedoms we enjoy in this country. So veterans, I salute you. And I thank God I live in a country where we're free. I salute you. One of the interesting things about being a pastor is when you deal with men in the military, they tell me things that they won't tell you. They do. They tell me things that they won't tell you. And trust me, I had no idea some of the things men had to do in military service. So, my hat's off to you in the military, because I know you've done things that most of us don't even dare dream of, don't even want to think of. So, thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. Thank you. One of the most emotional times of my life was going to Washington, D.C. and going to the Vietnam Memorial and scribbling up on high on the Vietnam Memorial there the name of a boy that I knew that died in Vietnam. And his daddy could never go back there because it was too emotional for him, so I went and I did that for him and brought it back. And I'll tell you, this is one of the most emotional things I've ever done in my life. And I found myself just standing there weeping over the boys that never got to be men. The men that never got to have children. Men that never got to be fathers and grandfathers. Gentlemen, I salute you. Gentlemen, I salute you. And ladies, yes, amen. Okay, so enough of that. But you just understand, I was raised in a family that my father taught me to be patriotic. Amen. Well, I'm starting a new series today, and I want to ask this question. Are you teachable? Because the day you are not teachable, there's very little God can do with you. The day that you tell God or men of God, you know what, I've reached the point, I've arrived, there's really not much God can do in your situation. Trust me, nobody has reached a point where they're teachable and where they have arrived and where they don't need teaching, they don't need the Scripture, they don't need God's understanding in day-to-day life. The longer I live, the more I realize I need Jesus Christ in every situation of life. And I need you, Jesus. I need your wisdom. I need your knowledge. And I need your revelation. So I want to read out of the book of Ruth. We don't spend a lot of time in the book of Ruth. Joshua judges Ruth. And I just want to read 5 verses. And I want you to understand that anything great or anything mighty that God's going to do, there might be principles of God involved. There might need to be knowledge and revelation. There might be steps. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. How many know that God is the God of steps? Amen. Your whole life has been a life of steps. You remember when your first child, the first steps they took and how exciting that was. Say, God is a God of steps. In Ruth chapter 3, verse 1, "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, 'My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor, But not make not thyself known unto the man until he have done eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. And thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And Ruth said unto her, I'll think about it. I might do some of these things. Ruth says something interesting here. She said, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. All that thou sayest unto me, I will do. Say with me, all that the Lord says unto me, I will do. Naomi gave Ruth 10 steps here. And in 1 Corinthians 10:10, the Apostle Paul says that all these examples from the Old Testament, they were given for the last generation that's going to see Jesus Christ. The last generation, the last people that will be living under the grace of God. He said, these are examples of how to live by. This is not a cute little story. Do you understand who Ruth became? She became the great-grandmother of King David. Do you understand who this woman became? She was a Moabitess that was an idolatress that got saved, got born again, came into the house of God, was brought into the kingdom of Israel, and she became the great-grandmother of King David. The reason the book of Ruth is so exciting to us as Gentiles is this is the book that tells us clearly and explicitly that one day Jesus Christ will accept a Gentile bride, and that would be the church or the body of Christ that you and I now belong to, and we are the bride of Christ. This is the book that reveals that. So this is not some cute little story that you tell in Sunday school. There are 10 things here that Naomi told her you need to do to approach Boaz. Do you know there are some things you need to do to approach Jesus Christ? We live in a culture today where you just run up on anybody. You just say, I'm me. It's the I generation, the me generation. I don't need permission to do anything. I just run up on anybody. You know, in the Bible, even the wise men didn't run up on Jesus Christ. He was just a little baby. When they went to see Jesus Christ, the Bible says that he was an infant. And you know what? They didn't run up there and pick him up and say, oh, let me see the little baby Jesus. Let me give him a kiss. No, the Bible says there was protocol. What does the Bible say? They came in, they bowed down. Everybody said they bowed down. They worshiped him. They opened their treasuries unto him. They didn't go grab the baby Jesus and say, my goodness, let me give him a kiss. Let me give him a hug. Right. You know how you are when you see a little baby, you want to pick him up and give him a kiss or hug if you're normal. I mean, goodness, that's, you just want to, how many know God loves babies?
Yes.
There's protocol to approaching Christ.
Yes.
Let's see. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Jesus, teach us to pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Prayer starts with worship.
Yes.
There's protocol. Just, nowadays, we live in a country where you just run up on anybody, demand anything you want. It's all about me. But now, understand, there's protocol to approaching Boaz. Or Boaz is a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ, a kinsman redeemer. She said, you're not just going to come in here with your Moabitess attitude, your Moabitess thoughts, and run up on Boaz and the man that God is representing, that he is going to be your redemption and your salvation. You're not just going to run up on there and tell him, hey, here I am, large and in charge, take a look.
Yeah.
He said, there's protocol. So we in this country, we don't understand that because we don't have kings or queens and all that silliness that other people have in Europe, but the reality is there's protocol when you approach royalty. And Jesus is royalty. Jesus is royalty. I'll say it till you say amen. Jesus Christ is royalty. For he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is his majesty. And she says, I'm going to give you some pointers before you just run up there on Boaz and say, hey, here I am. I'm Ruth. No, she said, honey, you need to understand, and the church needs to understand. We don't just run up on God. We have to come through and through Jesus Christ. We have to come through the blood of the Lamb. How many understand? You don't just run up on God and say, nowadays we treat God like he's a vending machine or one who will him to be our genie. God, I'm here. I want you to pray for me and my four and no more. I want a car. I want a truck. I want a house. I want this. I want that. Do you understand that there's protocol approaching God? That he's a holy and a righteous and a mighty God. Problem is, you turn on TV and you say, you know, you just pray three prayers, turn around on your seven times, jump on one leg, hop on one leg, and send in $58, and God will do everything for you. Well, I got news for you. I tried it. That don't work. My question to you today is, are you teachable?
Yes.
Are you teachable? Because this is so important in relation to where we are in the last days. I believe that this message is for people who are about to step in to one of the greatest things that God has for their lives. But Lord, are we teachable? Wise men didn't just run up there on Jesus. They came with protocol. They came with worship. They bowed down, they worship. They opened their treasuries. No, this is the theophoric representation of Jesus Christ. This is Jesus Christ in the flesh. This is Melchizedek himself, and we're here to worship him. Could you imagine Jesus running in there, grabbing hold of him, picking him up, and oh my goodness. She says, you're going to the threshing floor. The threshing floor. What an interesting thing, the threshing floor. The threshing floor, in the hermeneutics of understanding the Bible, studying the Bible, the threshing floor is the place of the representation of the all-sufficient one of God, the threshing floor, where the wheat and the barley came in, it was threshed. And isn't it interesting that at the threshing floor, it wasn't Boaz's foreman, it wasn't any of his workers, it was Boaz himself that sat at the threshing floor. It was Boaz. It is Jesus Christ that has all of the blessings and the anointings and the giftings for you if you'll come in the right way. Yes, we come in by the blood. Yes, we come in. But how many times do you come before the Lord with worship, with adoration? I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. Well, He's just lucky I'm here. I'm doing God a favor by being here. Really? I will enter His gates with thanksgiving. I will enter His courts with praise. God is looking at your attitude. How do you enter the presence of God? Well, I'm just going to run up there and tell Him what I want. Remember that song? Call Him up, tell Him what you want. Well, quit watching dirty movies and then call him up and see what happens. I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. I lost my head there. But how many understand that there's process and method to God? And we act like in the church anymore, call God up and tell him, this is what I want. I want this. The reality is my background as a family is out of the Methodist church. And I'm going to explain to you how that name came. The most famous Methodist you know is a guy named John Wesley. Anybody ever heard of John Wesley? The most famous Methodist you probably heard of today is a girl named Beyonce. Although I don't know if she's quite living by the standards, but anyway, I have some problems with the Methodist Church and some of the issues that they're having. But the reality is, the Methodist Church was established as a group of men and scholars that said, God has methods. And to truly know God, I must know His method. And for me to have the grace of God and the glory of God and have all that God wants me to be and step into my anointing and my calling, I must understand His methods. What did David say? Teach me thy ways, O Lord. Moses said, Lord, teach me your ways. Lord, teach me your methods. Everybody say, I need to know the methods of God. And so in their doctrine and their belief, they said, we are a church that believe in knowing the methods of God. And they became Methodists. That's how the Methodist Church started. That's my spiritual heritage. When we look back in our family line, we found out that our family in my father's side was full of Methodist preachers. Full of Methodist preachers. I did not know that until my brother did a study on our family and where we came from there in Germany on my father's side. But it was full of Methodists. And now I know why Methodists are named Methodists. God has a method. There's a method. And Naomi is telling Ruth, honey, you're not just, there's a method to approaching Boaz. There's some requirements. You're just going to run up in there? You're just going to run up there and tell Boaz, here I am, buddy. Here I am. She said, honey, I need to give you some methods. I want to know, ask you today, are you teachable? Are you teachable? Are you teachable to the methods of God? Or do the methods of God become, honestly, just an inconvenient truth to your life? I'm telling you, they can be. In the Church of America, many of the scriptures that we talk in the Bible today, they're just an inconvenient truth to the Christian life today. I'm going to get deeper into that in this study. So you need to understand God has methods. David understood it. Moses understood it. In Exodus 33:13, Lord, let me know your ways that I may know you. Lord, let me know your ways that I may know you. You don't know God until you truly begin to know His ways. Teach me your way, O Lord, David cries in Psalm 27:11. In Psalm 86:11, he says, teach me your ways again, O Lord. In Psalm 103:7, David says, God showed His ways to Moses, but only His acts to Israel. God said, there's a difference between knowing God's ways and His acts.
And the reality is the what has happened in the Church of America, all they want to do is now see the acts of God. Just the miracle of God. God, just God, what can you give me? But if you know His ways, all of that comes, because the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, His ways, His way of living, His right way of living, His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. If you seek Jesus Christ and His righteousness, everything else will come. That's one of the methods of God. It's the truth. That's why Moses was so powerful. He knew the ways of God. In fact, in Hebrews 3:10, God says something through the Apostle Paul. God says, I was angry with Israel. And I was angry with that generation. And they always went astray in their heart, because they never wanted to know my ways. They just wanted my manna. They just wanted quail. They just wanted the freebies from God. It's a different... How many know to have a successful marriage, you're going to have to learn how to know each other's ways? I had to go through a process to learn that. Because I was waiting for God to teach her my ways. I was waiting. And I was praying, oh Lord, teach her how great of a man I am. And God had to teach me who I truly was. God is a God of method and principle. God is a God of reciprocity. How many understand that God is a God of reciprocity? This is one of His methods and principles. It's a method and principle of God. Psalms 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Everybody say ordered. Has God ever ordered steps you didn't want? You know, I like that. God orders the steps of a man, and it's like, well, wherever I step, that's God ordered. No, I guarantee you, there are some steps that God does not order that you can walk in. You can walk in your own steps, your own flesh, your own way. And I got news for you. You're wondering, God, what happened? His steps are different than your steps. Amen. The steps of a good man are ordered. Think about that. They're ordered, just like you order in a restaurant. When I order at my favorite Mexican food restaurant, when I order number four, I want number four.
Yeah.
And I want it poured with red sauce all over it. And when I ate with Rob the other day, they gave him my plate and it kind of ticked me off. But being the humble Christian man that I am, I just ate it up and looked over there and coveted his plate. The reality was, when you order something, you're expecting that.
Yes.
Say, the steps of a good man.
They're ordered by the Lord.
Maybe you didn't want to be here today, but I got news for you. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Okay, I'll give you a step. If you want God to honor your children, honor God's children. You want God to honor your house, honor His house. These are steps. Everybody says, these are steps, Pastor. I'm just sharing steps with you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and His way of living and His way of thinking and His way of being. How about this step? Given it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give to your bosom. How many know that because God gave, God so loved, He gave. Giving is the redeemed nature of the Christian person. Of the redeemed soul, giving is the nature of God. You have to say, I have the nature of God. Say it, I have the nature of God. It shouldn't kill you to be a giver. God so loved, He gave. God so loved, He gave. That's a step. God won't be mocked, for as a man sows, therefore shall he reap. That's a step. God has ways, He has methods, He has principles. So there is a method approaching God. And Naomi is saying, Ruth, I'm going to give you 10 steps. And over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about 10 steps. This is not a cute little story. These steps are spiritual steps. These steps are amazing in relation to the secret truth they reveal by the Spirit of God. That God said, there are some steps. There are some steps you need to realize that God has for us. I talk about that in Matthew 6:9-13. Teach us to pray, and the Lord says, okay, I'm going to give you a prayer that has steps. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. This is a blueprint for prayer, brothers and sisters. This is a blueprint for prayer. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. I'm supposed to pray for His kingdom, His will above my kingdom and my will, right? There are steps here. There's steps here. There's principles. There's methods. Methodia in the Greek is methods. And the Methodists say we need to know the methods of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father except through me. That's the method. That's a step, brothers and sisters. Anybody you see come up there and say there's another way to God, they're lying. It's from the pit of hell. There's only one way to God the Father. It's through Jesus Christ the Lord. Teach us to pray, Lord. In Matthew 6:16, Jesus said, when you fast, not if you fast, when you fast. I don't know about you, but fasting is brutal. But I tell you, fasting has consequences spiritually. Now, I'm going to tell you about something that, as a Christian. And how many know that Christians can be addicted to things? And I'm embarrassed to say this, but I was addicted to Pepsi. I know you thought it was going to be something else. Get your mind out of the gutter. I was addicted to Pepsi to the degree that the Lord began to deal with me and tell me, you need to stop that. It's going to affect your health. No. The Holy Spirit came to me and said, stop it.
Yeah.
You are addicted to it. I am ashamed. I won't even tell you how much Pepsi I drank in a day. But they could rely on me to take care of Arizona for them totally. But they didn't have to worry about anything else. I was taking care of all the sales of Pepsi. Now the reality is, Pepsi sexy, Coke's a joke. I mean, the reality, I'm sorry, I got off my head there. But I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, is this real? And He said, it's absolutely real. You need to get off this stuff. It's going to hurt you.
Amen.
I was addicted. I was addicted. So we did a fast, and in that 21-day fast, I prayed, and I just knew I had victory. And then the Pepsi got me again. It got a hold of me again. And the problem was they had just put a new Taco Bell up there by the old Walmart down there. And he had put in this machine that purified the water to such a degree that you mix that purified water and that Pepsi adrenaline, whatever that formula is, and you put it on ice, and I'm telling you, oh, sweet nirvana. I could be just boiling and go down there and get a Pepsi. Oh. I know none of you have ever had any problem with anything like that. 21-day fast, didn't get it. 2 days later, we did another fast, and the Lord said, I'm still on you about that Pepsi. Now look, drinking Pepsi is not a sin. I'm not even talking about that. But what I'm talking about is addiction. The Bible says all things in moderation. So we did another fast, and I said, Lord, I can't whip this thing. I am whipped. It's just whipping me, and in that fast, I just said, Lord, I need you to do something miraculous in this. And you know what's amazing? God delivered me from that. Five people said amen. You need to understand what being addicted to sugar is. It's brutal. And being addicted to white sugar, my lands. And you know the reality is God healed me to such a degree that even now, I can go have Mexican food, and when I have Mexican food, I do have a Pepsi, but it does not get me, it does not bite me, it doesn't draw me back in, it doesn't suck me back in. Sometimes I have tea. But occasionally on days when I want to drink, I have Pepsi. And it's just so good with Mexican food. And I believe there's a place in heaven for those that love Mexican food and have their Pepsi too. I believe that. There's steps, Stephen. You're going to have to pray and fast to deal with this issue. There were some steps in that process. And the reality is, a lot of you think that I'm making light of, but this is a very serious issue. Anything that you get addicted to can steal your health. When God said, don't you understand what the enemy's trying to do here? And what we see in this text is we see an older woman, this spiritually mature woman, teaching a younger woman named Ruth the methods of how to approach Boaz. The methods of how to approach Boaz. Naomi gives Ruth these 10 steps. And they're simple steps, and they're life lessons. This is not a cute little Sunday school story. This is one of the greatest exposés of understanding how to approach the Lord Jesus Christ, or Boaz in a representation of when you're about to step into your identity and destiny in the earth. This is for people today who are about ready to step into something new. If you're ready to step into something new, this series is for you.
Ruth, I need you to understand something. Does anybody in this room have something pending? If you're a believer, I bet every one of you do. This message is for you. If you have something pending, this message is for you. There are some steps here that God orders for each and every one of us. These steps can be effective and absolutely life-changing and take you into that place that God has for you in relation to what He's anointed you to do on the earth. Sometimes I wonder if we think God has moved on, and it's really not that God has moved on. It's I haven't moved into the place. I have not moved into the place. In fact, the Bible says in Jeremiah 29:13, if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. It says that in Proverbs, says that in Matthew, says that in Luke. So the reality is many people just go around in life and whatever happens, happens. But how many know that God has called you, He has chosen you, He has anointed you, and He has thoughts and plans for your life? And in that, if God has thoughts and plans for your life, there must be some steps for me to get in order and in line with God for those things to happen. There's got to be something that I know aligns with the steps that God has for me and that He has thoughts and plans. There's got to be steps to take me into that. Have you ever heard that statement? When I grew up, I always wanted to be somebody. Well, Mark Twain said it this way. When I grew up, I thought I always wanted to be somebody. He said, now I realize I should have been a little more specific. Are you somebody but is not specific yet? In the reality, Ruth wasn't looking for any man. She wasn't looking for a man. She was looking for the man, Jesus Christ. She was looking for the man, Boaz. The Bible clearly says there, and you read it back there, when her and Naomi came in, all of Bethlehem stirred about that. Everybody knew they were in town. And everyone knew, who is this Moabitess that has come back with Ruth, with Naomi? Who is this woman that has come back? The whole town was talking about her. But she wasn't... The Bible clearly says that there were some younger men that were interested, but she wasn't interested in pretenders. She, I'm not interested. I got neutral. I'm not interested in pretenders. I'm not playing games. I need to get to Boaz. I need to get to the man that can change everything in my life, that can change my destiny, can change my history, that can change who I am and where God has taken me. God has a plan for me. Do you know that immigration was allowed in Israel? Read Leviticus. God gave a perfect plan of immigration into the nation. They could come in. But they had to become citizens of Israel.
Yes.
They had to become citizens of Israel. And they could not marry unless they became believers in Jehovah God. God said the foreigner is welcome, but they have to become Israelites.
Right.
It's in your Bible in Leviticus. Check it out about the foreigner coming into Israel. I'll let you figure out the rest of that. Many people just go around meandering, wondering, and whatever they hit, they think, well, God, this is what God must have for me. Are you specific? I always wanted to be somebody, but now I realize I should have been more specific than that. I'm not here for just any man. I'm not here for just any son of Israel. I'm here right now for Boaz. I'm not interested in pretenders. I'm not interested in predators. I'm here for the real thing, the real man, Boaz. If you're here for the real thing, Jesus Christ, I promise you, if you seek Him with your whole heart, you will find Him. She was specific in this relationship. And everything in her life prior to this had prepared her for this moment. Everything in your life has prepared you for this moment right now. Where you're standing, where you're sitting, everything you've been, none of it will be wasted. God, everything bad prepared you for this moment. Everything good prepared you for this moment. Nothing will be wasted. I promise you. Nothing will be wasted. Everything in your life has prepared you for this moment, Ruth. She's been through all kinds of trouble. She's lost her husband. She's gone through famine. She's gone through abject poverty, absolute poverty, lost everything, has nothing. She is in the fields begging and gleaning with the beggars of Israel in the fields. It was required by the law, in the Levitical law, that you had to, as you were gleaning, you had to leave some of the wheat and some of the barley and some of the corn on the ground so that those who were less fortunate or beggars could come and pick it up and glean. And she was gleaning 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day, picking up what was left over. And then we find out later that God had put some there for her. God had put some there for you. God has put, there are some things God got you through.
Amen.
And you didn't even know it was God.
There's some things God got you through. And here's the thing you need to understand. She was gleaning and begging in a field that one day she would own. 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 I'll tell you, being faithful to God is the best thing you can ever do. God is faithful and He's faithful to His words. But honey, I'm going to tell you, you just can't run up on Boaz. I'm going to give you some spiritual insight. Are you demanding reciprocity from a God without walking in His steps? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You mean I got to forgive people I don't want to forgive? Come on. Surely there's a way to skip that one in there. Oh, come on, Jesus. I mean, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Pray for those that use you and despitefully use you and talk about you. I mean, come on. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Say their steps. Are you going after something that you know is God-given? You have to know that. You have to know that. You are going something after something that is God-given. God, is this your will for me? You have to know what you're going after so you can defeat the doubts along the way. Let me tell you why it is so important to know the destination. If you know the destination, it will defeat the doubts along the way. You have to know the destination. You have to know Jesus Christ. He is mine. He is my husband. I'm going after Jesus Christ. There is reward after it. Yes, I need to learn some steps, but there is reward going after Jesus Christ. For He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. That's what His Word says. My goodness. We seek in the wrong thing. So do you know what you're going after? I remember years ago, we fellowshiped with the family they had two daughters, and the one daughter found this one guy, and he looked like Robert Redford. That's true, he did. But how many know that just because you look like Robert Redford don't mean you act right and you do right and you be right? And let's see, her daddy told her not to marry the guy. Her preacher told her not to marry the guy. Her sister told her don't marry that joker. But she just knew that was what God had for her. I got news for you. When your preacher and your daddy and your sister tell you don't marry the clown, don't marry the clown. He was a clown. And 10 years of heartbreak and heartache and just unbelievable things came out of that mess. Are you teachable? Are you teachable? It's like the lady that told me, there's no good man in this earth. I've been married 5 times. There's no good man. I said, yeah, you're the common denominator of those 5 failed marriages. You need to understand that if God has a plan for your life, there will be defining moments along the way. How many know that God gives us defining moments? Have you ever walked into a situation that you knew this is a God moment? This is God operating in my life. Because God has thoughts and plans for you. Because God has thoughts and plans for you. There will be defining moments in your life where God will absolutely say, wake up. Wake up. This is a defining moment in your life. In fact, the Bible says there, it says this. It said, behold, I do a new thing. And God told Israel, do I have to wake you up? You don't perceive it? Are you so hard spiritually you don't perceive when God's doing something new? God said, Israel, I do a new thing. Let me tell you how asleep you can be. Jesus Christ, the King of glory, can come to the earth and stand right in Jerusalem and say, I am the bread of life. I am that bread that came down from Father. I am that bread that if you eat, you live forever. I am that bread. And they looked at Him like, huh? Yeah. How can you miss a defining moment with Jesus Christ? How can you miss a moment of visitation? If you're not teachable, you can miss it. If you're not teachable, you can miss the moment of visitation. Ruth, are you teachable? I've got 10 things I want to tell you, sister. Are you teachable? It's important to know your destination. Defining moments. So that is why it is so important to have this scripture in your life. So if you know all things work together for good to them that love God, and to them are called according to His purpose. Why are we complaining about the issues and the vicissitudes along the way when all those are a setup to get me to the moment God has for me with Boaz? She's been through famine. She lost her husband. She's been through destitution. She lost all her money. She was totally poverty stricken. And yet she comes to Naomi and she says this, and this is declared a defining moment of her life. And she says, whether thou goest, I will go. The God you have, I will serve. Your people will be my people. I will become just like you are in Israel. I will go to Israel and see the manifestation of God in my life. I might have been a Moabitess. I might have been an adulterer, but I know God has something better for me in Israel. I know God has something better for me in Bethlehem. I know my past is not going to define who I'm going to be. My past will not. Do you understand that even a garbage truck has to dump something to keep functioning? So sometimes we as Christians need to go to the dump and just dump it. And so number one, she tells her is, wash thyself therefore. Wash thyself. The first thing she says is, wash thyself therefore. She's not talking about go take a shower. How many of you took a shower for? Okay, I don't want to see hands. Your neighbor knows. Wash yourself therefore. Wash everything off that has collected along your journey. This is significant. This is significant. How many know that Jesus Christ, when He comes into our life and He sets us free from the Egypt of this world, that when God took the children of Israel out of Egypt, going through the Red Sea represented baptism of washing off the remains and the residue of Egypt that was all over them.
Yes.
They didn't like that baptism. Baptism represents washing off all of that that has come before. Washing off the residue. Listen, do you know there are people that are married to people? Honestly. And I've seen this in Christian counseling. They're married to three different people. They're married to the one they're married to now. But mentally and emotionally, they're married to their past exes. Still. And I'm trying to counsel this situation of you and her going into something new. And she or he has that from the past, him from the past, her from the past, they from the past. And I'm trying to counsel on that. Wash it off. Wash it off, Ruth. Wash off the fact that Mahlon has passed away. Wash off the destitution of... Wash off the idolatry of Moab. Wash off all they did. You need to understand how bad Moab was in their idolatry toward God. I'm not even going to go there, but I'm going to tell you killing babies was one of the rituals they did every day. Yes, it was. You can study it out. I don't have time to go into that, but that was one of the rituals they had in Moab. So you'd be surprised if people are married to two or three people, not legally, but mentally and emotionally. Naomi is saying, Ruth, I don't want you taking all this down there to Boaz. As a Christian, I should not be able to look at you and see your past. I should not be able to look at you and see your past because the Bible says you are a new creature, a new creation in Jesus Christ. I should not be able to look at you and see the pain and the sorrow and all the stuff of your past that comes with you. So when you come into room, you bring all your past with you, and pretty soon people wonder, is that what they're about? I should not be able to see your past on you. Don't you take the past, Ruth, into Boaz, because Boaz is your future. I've dealt with people that they've got off alcoholism, but they never dealt with why they drank. They're called dry alcoholics. I've seen it firsthand. Come to church, raise their hands, worship God, go home and fight cats and dogs. Oh no, I've seen it. And yes, we know this wash yourself speaks of baptism, but it also speaks to the washing of the water with the Word. That is why you need to read the Word of God on a daily basis. The Word of God will wash your soul. Ephesians 5:23, for Jesus Christ, He loved the church and He gave Himself for her. He loved the church as His own bride and He gave Himself for her and He washed her with the washing of the water with the Word. Ruth, honey, you need to wash yourself. You need to wash yourself with God's Word. You need to wash yourself. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but getting in God's Word will wash your soul and your spirit all the time.
Amen.
You want to take a bath or a spiritual shower? Read God's Word. Read God's Word. It washes your soul. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Ruth, you're not going to go to that threshing floor looking like a Moabitess. You're not going to go in there with a Moabitess attitude. You're not going to go in there with Moabitess thoughts. You're not going to drag your history into your destiny and have it messed up because you don't have a mindset about how to approach the Lord Jesus Christ, how to approach Boaz, your Redeemer. You're not going to drag the world in to see Boaz. You're not going to drag the world in to meet with Jesus Christ. He is the world. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Kings. You don't need to drag all that trash into the palace. Washing of the water with the word. Well, go wash yourself. Say with me, go wash myself.
Go wash myself.
The number one thing she tells her is, wash thyself thereof. Ooh. She wasn't talking about just taking a shower. Wash your soul. Wash your conscience. Wash your mind. Wash your attitudes. Wash your thought process. Wash your life. One of the greatest things God has ever taught me is, before I say a word, wash it through the blood of Jesus. Before you tell her, I don't know what you're talking about. Wash it! Wash it! So to speak. Naomi, you know that God has brought you here for something mighty. Can you imagine being the great-grandmother of King David? Who is going to establish the nation of Israel that God promised from the very Garden of Eden till the time that God says in the last day every nation on earth is going to be focused on a little place on the map called Israel, because there was a man named David who stood up because he had a great-grandmother named Ruth who came out of hell, came out of the world, came out of that system and said, I'm going to find Boaz, my kinsman. I'm going to find Jesus Christ, the representation in the Old Testament of He that's coming in the New Testament. That's what happened. She's His great-grandmother. This isn't some cute little story. My God, honey, when you're going to go in there and see this man, I'm going to tell you exactly how to do it. How many of you gals back, if you remember back when you were dating and you were younger, got ready for your date? Took 2 or 3 hours, did your hair, makeup, and all that stuff y'all do? What's that prayer? Prayer in Judaism, Lord, to thank God I'm not a woman or something. They made that prayer up while they were watching a woman get ready to go to Shoney's. But the reality is, well, there's a country song. It took 2 hours to go to Shoney's. I mean, okay, I'll put it this way. 2 hours to go to Denny's? Well, really? I mean, come on. Let's just go. But she says, you need to wash yourself. She's talking spiritually. Do you understand this is a divine appointment, Ruth? Your whole life has been built for this moment. And yes, God knows you've been through some issues and some vicissitude and some terrible things and some horrible things. And you've seen some things that you just wish you could forget. And God said, don't drag this into your future, honey. You're about to meet the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're about to meet the man that's going to change your destiny. You're about to meet the... Do you understand divine appointments? I've got news for you. God has divine appointments for His children.
Amen.
He does, I'm telling you. Somebody's here today that has a divine appointment. The reality is Naomi had the nerve to tell her the truth. And one of the things that we struggle with in Christian counseling is because when we have the nerve to tell people the truth, you know what the actual reaction is generally? I don't want to hear it. I won't come back to counseling. I don't want to hear it. You cannot believe the type of people that I have told the word of. There it gets said, this is God's word on your subject and your issue. I'm not interested. Okay, are you teachable? Naomi, this is a divine moment. I want you to understand how powerful divine moments are of understanding. How many know that God loves you? Five of you. That God has thoughts for you and plans for you. And if God has thoughts and plans, there's going to be some meetings and some appointments and some timing that God said, I'm right there. Do you not understand? Are you not aware? Turn with me to Genesis 41. This is one of the greatest understandings of divine moments in the Bible. Other than Jesus Christ going to Calvary, this is a divine moment. In Genesis chapter 41, Pharaoh had a dream and he was very troubled in his spirit. Verse 8, and I'm just going to go through some of this. And he said to the butler, he said, I remember my faults. He said, I was in jail with this guy and he interpreted dreams. And none of Pharaoh's soothsayers or magicians could interpret the dream. He said, but there is a man, a Semite, that interprets dreams. And it came to pass as he interpreted for us, so it was. And he restored me into my office and the baker you hung. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he... Whoa, 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 whoa. He what? What are you... He shaved himself. He cleaned himself up. He got rid... Do you know there's some things, Joseph, you don't need to shave for you, but you need to shave for Pharaoh. I just got to be me. Well, you can be me and be broke. You can be me and be poor. You can be me and be destitute. Sometimes you need to shave for Pharaoh. Sometimes Christians need to shut up and just do their work to their boss. Quit complaining. Quit whining. Just shave yourself. He cleaned himself up. He knew it was a divine moment. He knew it was an understanding of this is God. This is God. And I don't need to shave for myself, but I do need to shave for where God's taken me. I do need to clean up for where God's taken me. I need to change my raiment. Ruth, wash yourself. Joseph, wash yourself. It's a divine appointment, a divine moment, a divine appointment with God. And I'm just going to go there. Here I am. And you know the story. A friend of mine wanted a job at Home Depot. I told him, well, you'll have much competition up here. I said, just dress nice, go in, you'll probably get hired that day. So he went in there and made an appointment. The gal said, well, he's with some guy, he'll be right with you. And that was over, out come this kid. He had a hat on sideways. He had a shirt on with the sleeves cut out. On his shirt it said, Chicks Dig Me. And my friend Mike, on the way into the interview, he said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know you were with somebody. He says, that's your competition. He was just here for an interview. He was just here for an interview. Hat on side. Oh, he had his 44-ounce Circle K Thirst Buster. You don't got to shave for yourself, but you need to shave for Pharaoh. Ruth, you may not need to wash yourself, but you need to wash yourself for Boaz. Are you teachable? Mike walked in and the guy looked at him. He said, are you Mike? He said, yeah. He said, you want to start today?
That's right.
Chicks dig me. I ran into that guy later on at Circle K that day. Sure enough, here he come out of Circle K. Just like this. Didn't get the job, but he had to be me. Unteachable. He's probably still looking for a job. Are you teachable?
Yes.
I got news for you. You can miss divine moments. You can miss divine moments with God because you're not teachable. The Bible says that Joseph understood this is God. This is God. This is God. This is God. Pharaoh wants to see you. I've been sitting in this jail cell a long time. If Pharaoh wants to see me, are you serious? That's God. That is God. I know it's God. And the Bible says he shaved himself, he cleaned himself up, he changed his raiment. And he came into Pharaoh. The reality is most Christians want everybody else to change for them. They don't think they need to change anything about themselves. But if you have a divine moment with God, there may be some things that God says you need to change. You need to work on some things. Are you going to God's threshing floor with a Moabitess attitude? Are you teachable? Brothers and sisters, I can tell you in this last day and age, we're going to see God do some mighty things. And I want to be a part of it. I want you to be a part of it. But am I teachable? Are you teachable? And that's my question today. I'm not trying to get you excited. I'm not trying to pump you up. I'm trying to get you ready for what God's about to do here. You've got to remain teachable for where God's taking us. I have to remain teachable. For the day that I'm unteachable, there's nothing God can do with me. The day you're unteachable, there's very little God can do with you. Ruth, wash yourself. Say with me, Ruth, wash yourself.
Ruth, wash yourself.
Stephen, wash yourself. Next week, we're going to deal with something really, really interesting. After she tells Ruth,
to wash herself, she tells her to do something else. And next Sunday is going to be fun. Joshua judges Ruth. Stephen, find it. There it is. The problem is in these Bibles, old Bibles like this, these pages are so thick. Thin, I mean, and it says, wash yourself therefore, and anoint thee. Stay with me. And anoint thee. You don't anoint yourself until you wash yourself. Next Sunday, I'm going to explain that. Are you teachable today? Are you teachable today?
Yes.
Or have you arrived to the point and to the degree that you're going to miss one of the greatest moves of God in the history of the world? I don't want to miss it. I want to be acceptable unto Boaz. Wash yourself, Ruth. Then anoint yourself. Next week we're going to go into anoint yourself. Anoint yourself. Say with me, I need to anoint myself. She's very specific in the order she gives her. Wash yourself first, then anoint yourself. Father, I ask right now in Jesus' name, that God, you have set us up for moments that are predestined in you. They are moments, Father God, in time. But we must be obedient to your word. We must understand divine appointments and times. And to be ready for these things that you bring. So, Father, I pray and ask that the truth and revelation of God's Word be manifest in this series. Are you ready for your divine appointment? Father, I pray your blessing on this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Wash yourself. And are you teachable? You receive that word today?
Yes.
Amen. Stand up for the blessing as we get ready to give God's blessing. Why would you not want to wash yourself for these words? Why would you not want to anoint yourself? How many know that God is good?
All the time.
The Lord is good and His mercy endures forever is what Scripture says. And this is God's heart to you right now. Ruth, this is what God's heart for you is. Ruth, this is what God's heart for you is. I know your past. I know your past. But I see your heart. But I see your heart. So the Lord would say to you today, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. And God said, if you'll put my name on your children, I will seek them. Lord, I thank you that you're taking us to the threshing floor of Boaz. You're taking us to the threshing floor of El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. For it was Boaz himself at the threshing floor. Not a substitute. Not anybody else. But Boaz himself. God, I thank you that you are the God of all source and all supply and all sufficient in our lives. So, Father, I pray these blessings in Jesus' name. And, Father, I pray right now if there's anybody under the sound of my voice that needs prayer, needs prayer, supplication, needs anointing, needs to talk to us about Jesus Christ, needs to talk about the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the born-again experience, please do not leave here. We have people up here that will pray with you, that will counsel you. Don't leave here. Don't leave here and miss a divine appointment today. You receive this in Jesus' name. Say amen.
Amen.
God bless America.